that God wants me to have, I want every bit of it. And that does, and you need to reach out if you're going to have it. I've talked about several things lately. I've talked about seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We were talking about giving, and that's the answer to the whole thing right there. Seek first the kingdom of God. Realize that there's a kingdom that God desires for you and I to live in. It's spiritual now, it'll be physical later. And then also remember, and last time I talked about the fact that where is the kingdom of God today? Where is that spiritual kingdom? It's in us. It's in us as Christians. We have the kingdom of God in us. And this thing about taking the land is allowing the kingdom of God to rise up in you and take your heart and take your soul, take your mind, will, and emotions, and body, and allow the kingdom of God to conquer you in this new year. It used to be a long time ago that when all they did in the church was sing hymns, they had a lot of battle hymns. Onward Christian Soldiers, and they sang all of those songs. And it seems like in these days we forgot there's a battle. I am all for the choruses, and I think that was a good thing. And the charismatic movement and other movements where we started turning our hearts to God and singing to him instead of about him, and I think that's wonderful, and we need that. But I think sometimes we need to go back to those old battle hymns and realize there's a battle in life. Now, if you study the Bible, you'll find out in the Bible there are patterns or types or models that God sets up, and this is how he works. We've talked about this many times. If you study Israel being free of Egypt, God taking Israel out of Egypt, that's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of being saved from the world and saved from darkness and brought into God's kingdom of light. And the very first thing God does, he put them in the desert for basic training. And I've talked about this before, but we need to understand how God works. We get saved. The next move is to put us in the desert in basic training. I remember a lot of times where the army would have basic training and they'd have this training base out in the middle of nowhere. They purposely put it out in the middle of nowhere so that you wouldn't be distracted by the world, because the army wanted you to be single-minded about being trained for the battle that was going to come. And many times that's exactly what God wants to do. Sometimes he'll take us from some of the friends we had before, sometimes some of the circumstances we had before, and he puts us in a church, and he puts us in that church for training, to learn the Word of God. Now, it's an interesting thing about training. It's in the service. You find very few medals of honor in basic training.
That's right.
Nobody gets a medal of honor in basic training. You get it when you get out of that basic training and you get into the fight, you get into the warfare, you get into the battle. Now, the battle, the promised land in the Bible is not heaven. It's the spirit-filled place of battle for Christians, wherein, as we serve God in our various places that God puts us, we receive rewards as we serve him. So a lot of people, they get saved, they get into basic training, and they stay there the rest of their life. They never go on from there. They're constantly maybe learning the Bible, maybe not, but they just stay there all their life, and they're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to say, okay, where did you serve me, where I wanted you to go? And they won't be able to say a word. And then what God wants us to do is go on into the promised land, take that land. That's where the battle is. That's where the enemy is. It's even partially in our own life. We think about taking the neighborhood for Jesus, or we think about taking a city for Jesus, or taking a nation for Jesus. But the first thing we take is our own life.
That's right.
We allow the kingdom of God within us to rise up and to take charge of your mind, your will, and your emotions, your life, in the circumstances that you're in. That's part of the battle. There's rewards for doing that. And then when you get that conquered and get yourself under control, then and ready for battle and trained for battle, he'll put you into something where you have to pray for somebody that's been that's opened the door to demonic spirits, where you have to pray for somebody that's in the hospital and they get sick and they can't seem to recover, and you have to pray for somebody and get in there and do battle for them, the ones that can't do battle, for the little ones and for the children and for all of these people, and you get in beyond your own life and you begin to do battle for the enemy. And that's the pattern of God. And then when his timing, you'll go up to be with him. You will be judged for how you performed on this earth after you were saved. And then you'll go in, hopefully, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then you'll go into the kingdom of God, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And he will, according to what you did in this life, according to his plan for you, not his plan for somebody else, his plan for you, he will judge what you've done and give you a position in his kingdom, which is going to last 1,000 years and then on into eternity. And so you could be a CEO of a company and be a Christian and done nothing with it, and you're just going to be a subject in the kingdom. You're not going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And you could be somebody that cleans houses and loves Jesus and does the work that God called you to do, and you can rule and reign with Jesus Christ. God is not a respecter of persons. Anybody that is a Christian is eligible to get into his kingdom eventually and rule and reign in Jesus Christ. Now, the example of this, if you want to study it on how to do this, and we already looked at this, you go to Joshua chapter 1. This is where God talked to Joshua, and he said, I want you to take the people. I want you to lead the people into the promised land. Now, there's enemies in there. There's giants in there. There's problems in there. But I want you to go in and take it. But God said to Joshua, I'm going to lead the battle. He said, I'm going to do my part, and you're going to do your part. Say your part. Okay, it's really our part. And the point is, God knocked the walls down when they were obedient to him of Jericho, but he said, you've got to go in and take the city. Now, God didn't go in and take the city. They went in and take the city. They had to be ready. They had to be trained. They had to have their weapons and their sword, which in our case is the word of God. And they had to be ready to go into that land. Joshua had trained them. This was the time. They had to decide whether they're going to go in or not. To be honest with you, half of them didn't go. And they died in the wilderness. Doesn't mean they didn't go to heaven. It just means they're probably not going to receive many rewards. They're going to be subject in the kingdom, but not ruling and reigning in the kingdom, because they decided not to do what God had called them to do. And we always think when God's going to call me, he's going to call me to the mission field, he's going to call me to preach, he's going to call me to do this. There are a million jobs that God has for his people. And what he will tell you what he wants you to do. When you get in the Word of God and you're faithful in his work and faithful in his church and faithful in your giving, he is going to show you what he wants you to do in this life. It possibly might be something you couldn't imagine. It may just be staying where you're at and be like Jesus. Are you listening to me? It doesn't mean you have to move somewhere or do something of that nature. Doesn't mean you're going to have to leave your family, although sometimes that's true. But the issue is that he wants to get your attention and get my attention for this year. 09 is over. Right. We're in 010. we were now getting ready for what God wants us to do in this year. And I think we're going to be amazed by the end of this year what is going on. I think there's going to be a lot of things going on worldwide, in our nation, various places. But God then has a pattern. Come to Christ, receive salvation, be trained, get into the battle of your life and this life, then prepare for the kingdom of God, which is going to be after this life. And God has a plan all the way through eternity. You don't have to worry about any place at all stopping, and you end up just non-existent. There's no such thing. God is eternal. He is going to go on forever. His plan will go on forever. He doesn't give us all the information in the Bible about the future because he wants us to be single-minded about today, about this year, about his plan for us. We need to take care of business, as they say, about this year, 2010, as a church, as individuals, as all of this. And God is training us together to do things. And that's what this is all about. And we need to sing songs about the battle. We need to sing songs about onward Christian soldiers and all these things. And we need to understand that there is warfare, but he is with us through it all, you see. We're not going to do this by ourselves. He understands the whole thing. And if you go down in battle, guess what? You're going to rise up in him. Hallelujah. So we don't have to worry about anything as far as that's concerned. But we need to get trained. We need to understand. We need to. You have to take the land. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Now, I talked about before, but I go over it real quick about this, that we are to be strong in the Lord, and that means very simply, we are to understand God has a plan and be searching and seeking that plan constantly. We need to be have confidence that what God says he's going to do, he's going to finish. You understand? And there will be battles. There'll be battles in your own circumstances. There'll be battle in every. Somebody says, what if you keep praying for the sick and you don't see anybody sick? You know what you do? That's what you do. You keep praying. What do you do when things don't seem to be going right? You remain faithful to God. You keep on going. You keep on praying. You keep on doing. You'll see the light at the other end. Hallelujah. I will guarantee it. That's what the Word of God says. And you got to pick up the sword. That's the Word of God. We try every way around here we know how to teach the Word. We teach encouragement and various things on Sunday morning. Sunday night we're talking about the future kingdom. Wednesday night, we're going through the whole Bible in just kind of hitting the high points, just to give you an idea and see the pattern of the Bible. The Bible's very simply this. You had a beginning in Genesis. You're going to have an end in Revelation. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? That's what God is telling us. That's what that book says, that there's a beginning. You came from God. Life comes from life. Life can't come from nothing. Life can't come from an explosion. Give me a break. Life has to come from life. And so who had life in the first place? God. So our life came from him, or you wouldn't have life, you see. And so he takes us through all this training and warfare and all this stuff. And you have to make a decision. You can decide against God. I'm not going to have anything to do with you, God. I'm going to live my own life the way I want to. You can forget it. And the point is, when you die, it won't be forgotten. You'll go to eternal hell separated from God. That's what you wanted in the first place. No. So it does make a difference what decision we make. It makes a difference how we live our life. It makes a difference to live righteously. It makes a difference to follow the plan of God. And you can ignore God and just say, God, forget it. I'm out of here. Well, you're going to be out of here and in a place you're not going to like. Because you get away from God, there's only one thing, darkness. You see, we were born in darkness. That's why we have to come to the light. You see, that's why you have to come to Christ. That's why you have to be saved, be born again, whatever you want to call it. Everybody, you're not going to be in the family of God until you are. You see, I don't care what church you go to. I shudder when people tell me, I ask them, do you know the Lord? Well, I go to this church and I was baptized. You know what I think about that? Big deal. You know. So was Judas. And I guarantee you he's not going to be in heaven. Not because of what he did do, but because of what he didn't do. And that was love Jesus. God forgave him for betraying Jesus. But he just didn't come to Jesus. You understand? Religion's just something man made up to keep people away from God. Jesus called it the blind leading the blind. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about Christianity. Religion, you can just get a little taste of it once a week and go home. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living for Jesus 24 hours a day. We're talking about being in the army of God. If you're in the army, you don't just say, well, I think today I'll take the day off and just go do my thing. Try that. That doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. I think it's time to, I'm not saying we haven't been serious about God in the past, but I think it's time to be more serious, if you want to put it that way. So the issue is we need to learn to be courageous is what I was trying to think of. We need to be courageous because we believe God. We need to get up in the morning because we believe God. We need to go through hard times because we believe God. That what he says is going to happen in the end is going to happen in the end. We need to focus on his plan for us. Single-mindedness. Get out in the wilderness if you have to and find out what God wants in your life. One thing we do know, he wants you to receive him as Savior. He wants you to be in the Word of God. He wants you to be a giver. He wants you to serve him throughout your life. We know that. That's basic stuff. We need to learn how to speak God's Word, not just read it, not just study it. Speak it out of our mouth because that's where the power is. That's how you defeat the enemy. You speak the Word of God. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. You see, I'm going to speak those things. I'm going to tell the enemy. God hadn't given me a spirit of fear, you see. He hadn't given that to me. And I'm going to let the enemy know. But he's given me power and a sound mind, hallelujah. Because that's what he says he's given me. And I receive it. You receive salvation, but you do the rest of it. Are you listening to me? The rest of it, salvation was all God. All you did is you have taken the gift. But the issue is the Christian life is God doing his part and you doing your part. If you just sit around, nothing's going to happen. If you say, well, there isn't any enemy. We have got the dumbest people in Washington, D.C. that I have ever seen in my life. They don't want to call anybody a terrorist. They're an enemy combatant or some dumb thing. They're terrorists. Come on. The Christians, Satan has blinded the church. All you got to do is be faithful in church and give your money and everything's going to be okay. I got news. That is not the Word of God. and we have to get the blinders off. We can't blame Washington. The church is just as dumb as they are because we've given up the battle. We just think we're just going to sit here and soak it all in and everything's going to be wonderful. That's not the way it is. We have our part. We have to take the... I'm not mad at anybody. I'm getting excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, you got to focus on His plan. Focus on His Word. We got to obey His commands. You know, somebody says, nobody's going to be over me. I'm my own boss. Well, you might as well sign out of the Christian army. You're in the wrong place. Because we're all under Jesus. You see, every single one of us. And we need to listen to His commands. And if we stand fast in Him and do what He says, we're going to have victory in this life. Now, I want to start on just some... I got 9 basic things, and I'm not going to give them to you all today, or we'd be here all day. But I talked about this one before Christmas, and this was, we need to treasure the presence of God. We need to love the presence of God. There's a whole lot more in what we call worship than just singing a bunch of words.
That's right.
We are singing to Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are singing before Him. It's like a music teacher teaching a bunch of kids, and boy, when they start doing what she's taught, she's excited about it. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus sees His people doing what He's taught us, He's excited about it. Mm-hmm. He can't wait to come back. He'd come back right now, but the Father's holding Him up. Got a hold of His belt, won't let Him go until the time. But He's raring to come because He wants to be with us. Isn't that great? And that's what we're singing for. That's what we're singing to Him, hallelujah. We're giving Him the worship and the praise. And aren't our musicians leading us in the right direction? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's wonderful to see what's happening with that whole thing, isn't it? We've been praying for years to have a team like we have now. And it's wonderful. And it's exciting. And it's getting me excited about it. And we need to, the worship and praise, it should be one of the best times. I've heard people say, well, I wait till the music's over and then I'll come hear the preacher preach. I got news, it's not going to do any good to hear me preach if you're not blessing the Master and His name is Jesus. If you can't sing, say the words, whistle, play the Jew's harp, I don't care what, or the jug or something. But make a joyful noise before the Lord, you got the idea? It was so noisy in David's temple that they had to wear earplugs. I'm not kidding you. They had cymbals and they were clanging and they had hundreds of people singing and all kinds of stringed instruments. And I mean, they were having a time in that place. And that's what we're supposed to do. And I don't know how anybody can come in with a straight face and just sit there while everybody's singing. We're singing to Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can hum, I don't do something. Tap your foot real loud.
There you go.
I mean, there's all you can do something to let God know you're breathing.
That's right.
And so we want to put Jesus first. We want to let Him know we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. You see. And hearing the teaching of the Word is important. I'm not making fun of anybody. That's important. It certainly is. But, you know, it just absolutely, oh, Lord, you're my life. You're my food. You're my drink. You're everything, Jesus. I can't take this land without you. I can't do any of this without you, Lord. And I know I have my part. Strengthen my part, Lord. Have the Holy Spirit strengthen me. And that's it, so I can do this thing. And I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't have to worry about divorces and marriages or any of that kind of stuff. There wouldn't be any if people were really worshiping the Lord and loving Jesus Christ. You see. Because love is very simply a decision. Mm-hmm. Somebody thinks it's emotion. Well, their emotions are part in there somewhere. But this is, you make a decision to love somebody.
Right.
You know, I can tell you one thing that would change your year this year. Make a decision to love everybody you see. Whether you know them or not, just make a decision to love them in Jesus' name. Love that person at the checkout counter. Love that person at Walmart. Love that person at the grocery store that's checking you out. Just make a decision to love them. Don't you believe that'd make a difference?
Yes, it would.
Make a decision to love your family, even the ones that aren't lovely. Make it in the same way in the church. Just make a decision to love people. Whatever it costs. I said whatever it costs. Because love always costs something. It cost Jesus. The blood on the old rugged cross. And we sang about that today. And you see, just make a decision this year. I'm going to love everybody I see. They may not be lovely. I'm not telling you to take abuse, but I'm telling you to love people. It'll make a difference in your life. I couldn't imagine. I was coming out of a store this week, and a lady spoke to me. I didn't know who she was. I didn't have a clue. And you know how it is. You got so many people around. Somebody speaks to you and say, whoa, what's happening here? You know. She said she knew me. When I used to go into the Top Hat restaurant, which doesn't even exist anymore, this had to be 25 or 30 years ago, she knew me. She must have worked in the place. I didn't remember her from anything, but she remembered me. And it kind of just took me back. And she was gone, and I didn't have a chance to say much. But I'm going to tell you this, if I see her again, I'm going to say something to her and talk to her because it's my responsibility to love people. See, the darkness is what keeps you away from people. Darkness is what keeps you from being friendly to people. Darkness is what brings fear into your life about people. God does not isolate people. He brings you out into people to make a difference in their life and to love them, you see. And love is very simply a decision. You have to make a decision to love somebody maybe you were prejudiced against before. You have to make a decision to love people that you wouldn't have had anything to do with them before, you see. And what the devil does and the darkness does is to get you to put everybody in categories, and there's only certain ones you want to be around and only certain ones you're going to love. Now, that's what the devil does. We all have some of that in us, let's be honest.
That's right.
And that's from the devil, it's not from God. And so we're going on, we're in the Word of God, we're obeying His commands, and we're going to stand in this, and we're going to put Him first. And we're going to say, I'm going to love God, I'm going to love Jesus, I'm going to love the Holy Spirit, I'm going to love my family, and I'm going to love strangers I haven't even met yet. That's what the Bible says. And that'll make a difference in your life. And particularly if you love somebody that has done something to offend you or hurt you. That's especially the ones to love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And that's true. They probably don't know what they're doing. And so we need to love them. I'm just giving you some little basic things that will change your life. And that's true. Now, I want to talk about something. We talk about keeping our eyes upon Jesus. We've talked about putting Jesus first. We understand that. And that means you get up in the morning and you welcome the Lord into your life. You go out of the house, you welcome the Lord into whatever you're going to do. You come back home and you welcome the Lord into your life again for whatever you're going to do. And then when you go to bed at night, welcome Lord, watch over me through this night. And the whole thing is the Lord. It'll change your life. It'll change your focus. We sang a song here a while ago about getting our eyes off of us and getting our eyes on the Lord. And that'll make a difference in your life right there. The devil wants you to be so self-centered that you haven't got time for God or anybody else. And what God says, I want to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want you to look now in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to talk for just a few minutes on the God, the Holy Spirit, because some people don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit, and I'm here to tell you, you'll not accomplish anything without the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen. God, Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father in heaven today, sitting there in a human body waiting to come back. He's God and he's man. He's sitting right next to God. But he sent the Holy Spirit. And so we need to fall in love, if I can put it that way, with the Holy Spirit. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm just going to look at a couple of things here and it'll be time to quit. But go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, the Lord's going to talk about marriage, but before he gets to marriage, he's going to say something. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, your marriage is going to be a trial. Your marriage is going to be a trial. And so here's what he says in verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise. I'm in Ephesians 5, 17. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want you to underline, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't hesitate to mark your Bible up. That's a command of God. It's not an elective, it's a command. Be filled with the Spirit of God. So that means you have to make a choice to be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There you have the whole thing. You got Israel used to sing the psalms, and you can sing the psalms. Hymns, we know what they are. Spiritual songs are the songs we sing to Jesus today, the choruses we call them. So, and making melody in your heart to God, always giving thanks for all things, underline all things, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If we just take those few little verses and concentrated on them this year, it would make a difference in your life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, so we're going to worship the Lord through praise and worship, but we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. We are going to ask, we're going to take hold of, we're going to love the Holy Spirit into our life. We're not going to do this on our own. We're not going to take Jericho by ourselves. We are going to take the land with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Make a decision to love the Holy Spirit. This is not a passive thing. This is a aggressive love for the Holy Spirit of God. And so you're going to breathe in the Spirit. You're going to be thirsty for the Spirit of God. Look at Psalm 42 and verse 1. It's all over the Bible. It's not just in the New Testament. Go to the Old Testament. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament would come upon people. In the New Testament, he comes in people. There's a difference. Psalm 42 and verse 1. You've all seen this, but this is talking about thirsting after God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The heart pants, that's the deer, pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, where they continually say unto me, where is your God? So the point is that we are to seek, like you seek water in a hot summer day and you're thirsty. We should be seeking God in that way and asking him to come into our life. Be thirsty for God. I'm going to read a prayer, and then if you feel like it, you can pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I am thirsty for your presence and your spirit to fill my spirit, my soul, and my body, and my mind, and my emotions to overflowing. Lord Jesus, you are my portion and my cup. You are my shield and my very great reward. Your presence is my gold and choicest silver. I treasure you and your presence, and the presence of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. You have to understand. I love you more than money, more than the praise of people, more than anything else in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to pray that, just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am thirsty for your presence and your Holy Spirit. Please fill my spirit, my soul, my body, my mind, my emotions to overflowing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You are my portion. You are my cup. You are my shield and my very great reward. Your presence is my gold and choicest silver. I treasure you and your presence. I love you more than money, more than the praise of people, more than anything else in this life. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to quit right there today, but I've got a little more to talk on this, and I got 8 other